I'm in the habit of reading the whole chapter and then going back and going into the section that we are going to cover. But this time, we're just going to read the first 23 verses because I want to stick to the portion that we're going to be considering today. And I usually ask people to stand to read the word, and I do it two things out of reverence, but mainly so people get ready, so people pay attention, so they're not over there looking at their phone or doing something. Just so please stand and let's read the first 23 verses. Matthew 13. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some of 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand and with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears a word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to understand and to not be one of the soils that did not produce fruit. We want to be the one that produces fruit. Help us to be the one that produces in abundance. But we cannot do it alone, Lord. We need your help. And I pray for your Holy Spirit to help me too, to teach your word in a way that it could be understandable. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, last week we gave the introduction to this section about the parables. And if you want to learn a little bit about the parables, we want to make sure that you go back and listen to that sermon, because I spoke about how many people misquote the Bible. So many people misinterpret the Bible, and they say, "Well, the Bible says," and then they go ahead and say something that you're like, "Wait a second, I didn't know the Bible said that." But it's because they lack understanding. And now we talked about the doctrine of hermeneutics, which hermeneutics is just the science of how to interpret a passage, and it's not a biblical subject. Hermeneutics is actually applied to the study of any document that you're going to read that you were supposed to interpret it correctly. But for Bible scholars, hermeneutics is used specifically to interpret the Bible correctly. And we talked about the literary language that is abundant in the Bible, and that you're going to find all kinds of different literary language in the Bible, that if you don't interpret it correctly, you might come up with something really weird. I explain about which, sorry if I hurt the feelings of someone, but I don't recommend TBN. It's very hard to find good teachers in that program, but it's really hard. I mean, you have to very know exactly who you're listening to. But I heard one a while ago, I heard someone there explain about the span of the hand of God in the Old Testament, and he took it literally. He went back and looked at the span, and he said that the size of the hand corresponds to the size of someone who's like 6'3", 6'4", and that explained that God is not a big, huge being, but he's actually 6'4", that when you get to heaven, you're going to meet a man that's about 6'4", because of that scripture that he found. And I'm like, how ridiculous is that? You're completely taking out of context the scriptures and not even understanding the basic rules of interpretation. Now, there are rules that apply also for the parables. Parables are not to go and find out what you want. In the parable of the sower, I've heard many televangelists that say, "Oh, this is a good soil. Send your seed here and it'll we produce in 100%. I'm like, wait a second, what are you talking about? You're using the parable of the sower to collect money? Is that what the parable of the sower is for? So we have to understand how to interpret the word of God. And I love this section that we're considering from verse 3 to 23, because we left it right at the half of verse 3, right where it starts with the parable. And we're going to look all the way to verse 23. Why do I like it so much? Because it doesn't need interpretation. It just needs for us to read it, to consider it, and we'll see how right there Jesus gives us everything. And I think that it's beautiful that he put that as the first parable, because then from there we can take and say, oh, now I understand. So I can use that same principle to understand the other parables, that I'm not just going to go out on a limb and just make up my own version of this parable. And I love the way he explained this one. Now, the key verse, and usually the key verse, when I give you the key verse of the passage that we're studying, if you remember just the key verse, you would have most of the sermon memorized. And go to verse 23 and look at that. I mean, if once one reads that and we say, ah, so that's what it means. So Matthew 13, 23. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Wow. Literally, when you meditate on that verse, you're like, that's the point. That's the point of the whole parable. Jesus wants us to be the ones that hear, not only hear, but understand, and not only understand, but produce fruit, to go ahead and bear fruit. That's the goal when you come to Christ, when you come to hear the word. And you know, sometimes as pastors, since we want to give this sense of security to people when they did the prayer of receiving the Lord and we declare them saved and we tell them, oh, you prayed the Lord You pray that prayer to receive the Lord, you're saved and you're on your way to heaven. And I'm like, how do you know? We really don't know. And that's why now when I read this this parable, I understand now why so many people come to church and they seem like nothing happened. I mean, they're here. They're in the body here. Their body is here, but they're no fruit. And sometimes you tend to blame yourself. You're like, man, maybe I'm not teaching good. Maybe I'm not doing enough. Maybe I need to pray more for the people. But when we look at this, at the parable, we understand. We're like, oh no, this is actually the parable of the sower right before our eyes. And so make sure that as believers, we don't go into that attitude where we just declare everyone saved. I hear testimonies of people. I heard one brother that has a little chain of scriptures that he uses, and he saves people all the time. And he says, oh man, today 100 people received the Lord. But the way he does it, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know about that. Because I can scare people into praying the prayer. I can say, do you want to go to hell or you want to go to heaven? Oh, no, I want to go to heaven. Okay, well, pray this prayer. Oh, you pray. Now you're saved. Now you're on your way to heaven. We don't even know if that person is saved. We don't even know if that person understood. So we have to make sure that right here we see in that verse, they have to not only hear, but they have to understand. And not only understand, but they have to produce fruit. And you will see, that takes a while. You don't plant a seed, and in the same moment you have fruit. That would be cool. I mean, that would be cool. Imagine, I wouldn't need to buy any apples. I could just plant it and like, apples. Here you go. Okay, take it out. We'll plant it later when we want something else. It's not like that. So let's look at the verse 3, starting from there. And first of all, I gave the definition that the parable is a figure of speech, of language, that it illustrates a truth, a moral truth, or a spiritual truth. And it's done through an analogy taken by everyday experience. That's what a parable is. And so we saw that Jesus used parables a lot. That was his favorite way of teaching. He taught through parables. And so now the parables reveal important spiritual truths that can make the difference between a very abundant spiritual life or a life that produces no fruit. And so we could spend a lot of time looking at the first part of the parable, like right here when he speaks the parable to the people in general. It says, behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed. And I could spend time right there on those first verses. I think it's up until verse 8. But the thing is, we don't need to do that when we have the explanation of the parable a little bit further. So before, instead of jumping straight into explaining these verses, I want to go to the verses that follow the parable. When the disciples came and asked them, they had some questions about to Jesus, and I don't know how long they've been under the teaching of Jesus, but they asked this interesting and very important question that I think is going to help us to set the foundation to understand why Jesus spoke in parables. In verse 10, so we're going to go all the way to verse 10, and notice what they asked. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Isn't that a great question? Why do you speak to them in parables? And the answer seems to throw a curve, even to some people that just read it very superficially. Because notice what he answered. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. When you read that verse, doesn't it look like Jesus chose some to understand and some not to understand? Because notice it says that it has been given. So that means it comes from someone else that is giving it to them. And it says, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, it has not been given. So I would say, okay, so then Jesus is trying to hide his truth instead of enlightening and making people understand. He's actually making it harder on people because he says, oh, only a few, I'm going to make sure that they understand. And the others, I'm going to make sure that they don't understand. It seems like if you read that verse, it seems like that's what it's saying. And some teachers actually teach that. Oh, yeah, Jesus chose some to be saved and Jesus chose others not to be saved. Well, let's look at the whole context. Okay, so let's look at verse 12. Notice what it says. For whoever has... Oh. So now we're starting with that they weren't empty. They had something. So we're not starting with two empty vessels and you give to one and you don't give to another. And you block one, you make one understand and the other not understand. But you actually start with something. It says, for whoever has, to him more will be given. And I find that very interesting, the way Jesus explains it, because now we understand how God works then. What he is saying is that as you hear the word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And as you respond to the word of God, more will be given. You will have more. And you will be led by the Spirit into salvation. So it all depends on how we respond, how we receive, how that heart is. And so once we understand that answer, and maybe you think like, Pastor, maybe you're making that thing up. Maybe, doesn't it say there that some don't understand and some, or some will be given and some will, won't? Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'll help you find 2 Corinthians. It's right after 1 Corinthians, or after Romans. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6. And this section will reveal and will make it a lot clearer and to see why it's not that God chooses some to be condemned and some to be saved. But notice what it says. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds, notice here, the God of this age has blinded, who do not what? Believe. Who do not believe. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the reason why some people don't receive the word, it's because their eyes, their understanding is veiled. By whom? By Satan, the prince of this age, which is Satan. And he's blinded. He has blinded those who do not believe, which means that if you believe, you go into a different category. Now you're not unbeliever, now you're not in darkness, but you're actually a believer, and you have passed from darkness to light. And I have another scripture that will make it even more clear. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 1 through 3. I mean, this one just... Once you read this, you're like, oh, okay, now it's so clear. Therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. So notice, both received the word, us and them, in this passage that the writer of Hebrews is quoting. And he says, but the word, notice, the word is the seed. The word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So there's a way of hearing the word and not producing faith because of the way you respond to the word. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, he swears in his wrath because he knew that they would be resisting the word. They would not respond to the word. They would not mix faith in hearing. So it's not just hearing. Faith will come, but you have to come believing. You believe. And we know in Hebrews 11 it also says, you have to come to God believing that he is. And no wonder a lot of people that hear the word don't grow, don't mature, don't produce fruit, because they're just sitting there listening. They're turning on the radio, and they hear, but their heart is not bent toward believing or following what God is telling them. And so if we go back now, we can see why these different soils. And we can understand why Jesus... And now, notice, let's go back to Matthew chapter 13. And let's look at what Jesus said about the prophecy that was being fulfilled in the people in his day. And I believe that in every generation. Because these prophecies were given to the prophets, Isaiah and Ezekiel, in their time, about their generation and how those people listened to them. But they were just... Oh, they're going to listen to you like someone who sings really well. And then they're going to turn around and just forget about it. Same thing here. Nowadays, there's pastors and preachers, evangelists everywhere. And people listen to them, but many of them don't want to change. They don't want to apply faith. And so here, Jesus will apply these and say that these prophecies were fulfilled in the people of their day. Therefore... Verse 13, I speak to them in parables. Now, that's why he's speaking to them, because seeing, they do not see. Now, he did not make them not see. The enemy has blinded them. The enemy, and we were like that too. Well, I don't know if a lot of people say, oh, I was born into a Christian home. So what? You still need to be born again. Being born into a Christian home does not make you safe. I mean, it's a blessing to be able to have godly parents and godly fathers that could lead us and could guide us, but we still have to come to a personal relationship and be born again. And so he says, because seeing, they do not see. So notice, they do see, but they don't see. What? Sounds weird, huh? And hearing, so they hear, but they do not hear. Sounds like when you're talking to your son to do something, or your daughter, and it seems like they're hearing Like, hey, can you take out the trash? And they're staring at you. And you're like, okay, he heard me. And then you turn around and you're like, wait, what happened? The trash is still there. Yeah, they heard you, but they didn't want to hear you. So, here it says, hearing they hear, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Now, here's a clue. There is a clue, which we read in verse 23. They have to understand. It's not just hearing. And we're glad when people come to church and they hear the word of God, because the possibility of faith being sprung up by the word is there. But you still have that free will that God has given you. And he will not force you into the kingdom. He will not beat you up to take you to heaven. No, you have to respond voluntarily. You have to say, you know what? I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I'm wrong. I was 22 years old, man. And I had a lot of hair and I was skinny and handsome. I had a lot of plans and I was here in the United States by myself, no family, no one to give an account to. And I said, ooh, this is going to be fun. That's the mentality I had. I was going to party over here. And I was going to have dollars, not pesos. But yet the Lord saved me. He saved me. And I had to wake up to my senses and realize, wait, that is a really dumb plan that I have. It's not going to do any good. It's going to destroy my life. I need to get right with God. And I surrendered my life. I told Lord, you know what? I can see now, hearing the word of God, it pierced my heart, understood it, and I had to respond to it. I said, okay, let's go for it, Lord. And I acknowledged that I couldn't do it on my own. I said, Lord, if anyone knows, I know I'm weak. I know I can't do this. I can't do what these people do. I can't go around like all the things that they said they didn't do, because that's what hits you when you first come to Christ or when you first listen to the word. Like, these guys don't party. These guys don't do this. These guys don't do that. Then, wait a second. So what do they do then? It was weird. But then I said, Lord, but I know it's the truth. I know. I've been listening to the. So I need to respond. And I understood. I responded. And it says, and in them, talking about the ones that don't respond, that have ears but can't hear, have eyes but can't see. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. Notice that the prophecy did not make them not come to Christ. The prophecy was just being fulfilled. God, all-knowing, knew that these people would have a hard heart, that they would not surrender, that they would continue in rebellion against God and against his word. And so he knew and he prophesied ahead of time. And he said, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive. God, before it happened, knew that it was going to happen. So he just said it and then it happened. But him saying it before doesn't mean that he made it happen. No. People still had the freedom because they... In that group, in that generation, there were people that responded to the message that Jesus was giving, and they were saved. They were transformed. So you could see here, because someone could argue about Judas Iscariot. If there was a prophecy that one was going to betray him, and that one was going to turn against him, then does that mean that he was forced to do it? No. He decided, because in his heart there was only worldly things. Even as a servant, even as an apostle, it says that he was stealing out of the money bag. And he was over there, this perfume could have been sold for so much money and we could have helped the poor. When he was thinking, man, I could have bought something really good with that, with the money if I would have sold it. That's what he was thinking. So the problem was not in Jesus. The problem was not in God. The problem was not in the prophecy. The problem was in the heart of Judas. The problem is in the heart. And what you do when you hear the word of God, verse 15, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Notice, it's the hearts of the people that have, that's how they get. And that's why I say, the more you listen to the word and the more you reject the word, the harder your heart is going to become. Haven't you met people that you go and talk to them and they can actually quote more Bible than you? And you're like, oh, wow, this person knows a lot of Bible. But all they know is scriptures to attack the gospel. Oh, yeah, I know you guys say this. And why this and why that? Only resisting, only fighting, only. And you're like, wow, what happened to this person? How did he get like this? Well, there it is. The hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. I know, like, we're getting older. My wife and I and my son is like, why do you have to listen to that so loud? I'm like, I could barely hear it. I'm like, what do you mean loud? It's perfect. Like, but then there's an older lady that lives our neighbor across, and man, I have to put my volume higher because hers is like really high. Like you could hear her conversations. And sometimes I'm like, I don't want to hear her private conversation. Like, yeah, mi hija, vente, temprano y vete. Oh my God, I'm like, lady. But you know, the ears have become dull where you don't, with their eyes. Notice that the eyes, they have closed. They close their eyes. And sometimes you're bringing someone so close to understanding the gospel, and you can see that the Spirit is working in them, and you're like, you get excited. You're like, okay, here we go. And then all of a sudden, they close their eyes, and they cover their ears. No, don't tell me anymore. I don't want to learn. I don't want to know. Because then that's going to make you're going to force me to change. I don't want to change. And you see the scripture being fulfilled. I'm like, wow, that's what Jesus said, that people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And they just want to continue in sin, not even realizing that their sin is going to have very grave consequences. It's going to be terrible. Comparing this life to what's coming, I mean, even 100 years compared to eternity, I mean, I can't even pick up a little dust that would be comparable to 100 years compared to eternity. Forever and ever and ever. To be with God, to enjoy His presence, to continue growing in His love and His, oh man, that is awesome. Just thinking of that. I mean, so many beautiful things we see here in creation, and you go to a place and you're like, this is so beautiful. Well, there's nothing compared to what God has prepared for us in heaven. And when you feel His presence, we don't go by feelings, but hey, God sometimes just visits you and you're like, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I love this. And the Bible says that in His presence is fullness of glory, fullness of joy. We are going to go there for eternity. But then the opposite. I mean, we'd like to talk about God's love, but the wrath of God that has been prepared for those that reject, those that resist, those that have the witness of hearing the word, of listening to the word, but closing their eyes and closing their ears and saying, no, I don't want to, no, don't tell me. And then on that day, God will play the video. Say, replay it. Because we, from our human side, we always think like, I don't think God is just. Look at this old lady, how cute she looks and how good she looks, and she's going to go to hell because she doesn't want to receive Christ, but she looks so nice. I understand that big ugly guy that has been doing all kinds of evil things, yeah, he should go to hell. But actually, as believers, we don't wish anything like that. But I'm using just the human part in us that sometimes looks like that. Well, in that day, God will play that video of the life of this person, and you will see how many times they resisted the Lord. I had my father.
I was preaching to him, and I'm telling him, and he's almost 90. So I told him straight out, I said, Dad, you're already on overtime. I mean, I'm 90, I mean, that's pretty old. And I'm like, you should get ready. And I started preaching the gospel, and he was listening, and I'm like, oh, yes, I'm getting through. And then at the end, he says, you know, I like hearing what you say and stuff. He says, but I am not going to turn my back on my religion. I'm like, we're talking eternity. We're talking heaven. We're talking to the presence of God. And we're talking, and you're over here worried about a religion? I said, we're not even talking about a religion. We're talking about coming into a personal relationship, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, where he's going to change you, transform you. I said, and you have me as a witness, and you have my brother, who's also a pastor, as a witness. I said, look at their lives. I mean, we didn't change on our own. It's not like I forced myself to change. God changed me. And yet, no. Exactly what it says here. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But notice, the problem is in the person. But now, notice for us, I mean, most of you are believers, and most of you are believers that are watching. So, blessed are your eyes. Ah, yes. For they see. I mean, isn't it awesome when you read the scriptures after you're saved? I was telling someone that I used to read the Bible, because we had a Bible, or someone let me borrow a Bible or something like that, when I was like 18 or 19, and I wasn't saved. And I remember reading the first two or three chapters of Genesis and just started cracking up. I just started laughing. I said, this is ridiculous. I'm like, really? People believe this? People believe that this is true? And the reason is, I was blind. I could not understand. I could not fathom. But when I received Christ, when he transformed my life, when I was born again, then your eyes are like, literally. I always give a witness about how I felt when I received the Lord and how when he changed me. I walked out and I thought like somebody went and cleaned all the lamps and all the, it looked bright. It was at night. I went out and I'm like, the lights are brighter. The streets are cleaner. Everything is beautiful. I don't know what happened. I mean, literally everything was. And when I opened the Bible, literally like Peter says, it was like milk for a babe. This is good. This is so good. 3 months I read the whole Bible. It was so good reading. I mean, literally, there was nowhere where I didn't read the Bible. I was at the bus stop reading the Bible, sitting at the bus reading the Bible, even walking out of the bus reading the Bible. I mean, I literally went to work wherever they hired me, and as soon as I got my break, read the Bible. But it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit that produced it. And so, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That's why this boring thing of coming to church and sitting down and listening to the word, and I'm talking like the world, huh? They said, that's non-essential. That's non-essential. But as believers, oh man, I love this. I love coming together. I love listening to the word. It is beautiful. It's like beautiful music to my ears. The Holy Spirit using this bald guy to speak to us by his word. And that's what it is. It's not us. It's not the pastors. It's not. No, it's God, the Holy Spirit, showing us the truths of the Bible. And notice what it says. For assuredly, this is such a blessing for us. Verse 17, for assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Imagine those prophets that were shown ahead of time that one day Messiah was going to come, that one day the Son of David was going to come, that one day the seed of the woman was going to come, and that he was going to bring the word directly. That he was going to bring the word of God. He was the word of God. And that he was going to do wonders and miracles in every home. They were like, Lord, why was I born 500 years before and I'm just prophesying about him? Why didn't you let me be born in that time? I wanted to be there. Daniel was like, Lord, please show me what's going to happen. Wait, Daniel, go to sleep. We'll wake you up later. No, but, and they wanted, they desired. And what a blessing for those people that were there witnessing Jesus in person giving the word. And now that we have the revealed word of God, what a blessing for us that we even have the interpretation. I mean, we even get the whole book. We get the whole revelation. So blessed. Now when I call you blessed, now you know why. I'm like, yes, I am. I can hear. I can see. And I can understand. And my life can be changed and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. So we're going to be going backwards now, just so you understand. We're going to be looking here and looking back, or looking over there and looking back on the first section, and then going back to understanding each one of the... Now, if you want to know the prophecies that were... If you have a study Bible, it probably shows it there, but it's Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10, where this prophecy was given, and Ezekiel 12, 2. Those are the two passages that Jesus is referring to. Isaiah 6, verse 9 and 10, and Ezekiel 12, 2. But now, we're gonna go into the parable itself. So, it's a lot more easier now to go back and study it and look at it, because now we know what he's talking about. So, if you want, Andrew, just bring up the Spanish notes up there in case somebody wants to take notes. Sorry, wasn't able to translate everything, but hopefully you can see the scriptures, and there, a lot of them are almost similar in English and Spanish. So let's look at verse 3 of chapter 13. And it says, behold, and I'm looking at the red, if you have a Bible with the red letters, that those are the word of Jesus, that's where he started giving the parable. Behold, a sower went out to sow. So that's the first part that we want to see. And if you look at Mark chapter 4, verse 14, why I want to take you there is because looking at these passages, the parallel passages, we get a very clear picture of the whole parable. Notice verse 14. It says, the sower, what does it say? Sows the word. So there you go. The interpretation right away, since Jesus doesn't give the interpretation of who the sower is over here in the passage that we read in Matthew, in Mark 4:14, it does tell us who the sower is. The sower sows the word. So when he's saying that the sower went out to sow, he's talking about someone who went out and gave the word. And then let's look at what does he sow? He sows seed. So if you look at Luke chapter 8, because remember, if he's going to sow, he needs to sow something. And Luke chapter 8, verse 11, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So the seed is not money that you send to a ministry in a TV evangelist. No, that's not the seed. The seed is the word of God. So the seed is the word of God. So now we know the sower is the one that preaches, that sows, but he sows what? The word of God. Now, let's move on. Verse 4. So in verse 4, we find, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. So now this is a different, so don't have a picture of today's agriculture. Don't think of oh, the rows of land that gets prepared and how they have it like that, and that you have the rows and they make the little holes. And sometimes even they have machines where the machines will go and drop the seeds in the little hole, and the other part of the machine just covers the soil. That's modern. I remember when I used to go help my grandpa at El Rancho, and he would carry a stick, and we would prepare the land and then carry a stick and do the stick like that, make the hole, drop the seeds right next to the stick, and then pull out the stick so the soil would come back, and then you just push it with your foot, and that's how we did it. But that's still old-fashioned. That shows you how old I am. I was 1 year old when I did that. I'm just kidding. And so, but this time, they would prepare the soil, but differently. They didn't have the rows, and the sower would just randomly have a sack and just throw seed. Just throw it everywhere. Throw it in hopes that the rainy season is coming and everything, and some will spring out and some won't, but it's okay. The more I sow, the better chance I have of some seed springing up. And so that's why he talks about the different soils, because literally when they heard this parable for the first time, they knew exactly what they were saying. Oh yeah, I've seen a sower. Actually, on the way here, when I was coming to listen to Jesus, I saw a guy sowing, and he was just throwing the seed everywhere. And he says that these fell by the wayside. Now, the terrible thing that happened is that was the waste of seed, a waste of work, a waste of time, because the birds came and devoured them. Huh? Man. Well, that's like a pastor, no? Sometimes you feel like that. Now, notice verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, which is the word of God, and does not understand it, then the wicked one, who's the wicked one? Satan, comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. So that means there's someone here, and I'm not talking about you, I'm just talking when the sower is giving the word. So there's someone here listening to the word, and since their heart is hard, the word falls, but as soon as they go out, the enemy snatches it. Don't listen to those liars. You don't believe, I didn't believe that. That's all a lie. They just want your money. That's how the enemy works. I'm telling you. And in the process, their soul is being lost. And it says, this is he who receives seed by the wayside. So there's so many people that visit our churches. There's so many people that say, yeah, talk to me about the word. I want to hear it. And they do listen, but they don't understand. So even though we use that verse a lot, like, oh, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, and we say, thank you that you're here hearing the word of God, and God bless you for doing that. Well, I would say, thank you for hearing the word of God, but make sure you understand it. And if you don't understand it, come and ask us. Come and check with someone. Ask him about what you didn't understand, because we want to make sure that you understand it. If you don't understand it, it's pointless. It's like me going to class when I was a kid and I hated chemistry or those classes. I would go and I just sat there, because I'm like, why do I need this? I'm not going to go into medicine. I'm not going to go into any of that. I hate all this. I would pass the test just by luck. I mean, I just grab the book and try to, okay, this is, answer was this. And I was just, by association, I would answer my quizzes. And I'm like, okay, I think I remember this one word with this one, this one with this one, and I answered. No, you want to be able to understand. Isn't it so cool when someone understands something and they explain it to you and they make it so simple and you're like, huh, that's how it is? Well, that's our job as teachers. We want to make it simple. But if you're closing your mind, you're closing your heart, you're already thinking of the party, you're already thinking of drugs, you're already thinking about sex while you're listening to the word, the enemy has got a grip on you. He's got a grip on your mind, on your heart, on your soul, on your eyes, on your ears, and he's ready to destroy you. And you don't even realize it. You're like, oh, this was okay. I guess so. At least I went. Okay, you told me to go. I went. I sat there. I listened. But you didn't understand. You need to understand. So those are the ones that fall by the wayside. And the birds, I mean, you could get very technical, and that's one danger about the parables, that you can want to explain everything. You might want to explain the birds, what color the feathers were of the birds that came, and you want to how they devoured it, where they went when they got the seed to eat it. But that's not needed. You don't need all that. If Jesus is explaining over here, no, this is what it means. Just limit yourself to that. Amen? And so let's look at the next one in 2 minutes. And again, I'm not in a hurry to finish with 23, so don't worry. I'm not going to give 20 verses in 2 minutes. We're just going to go to verse 5. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. So on this one, you go to verse 20 and 21. And Jesus is going to explain that one. Oh, did I read verse 6? Oh, sorry. So it was 5 and 6. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. So in a way, they died. And so if you look at verses 20 and 21, he's going to explain that soil. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Now, this is awesome. These are the people that sometimes deceive you. And you see them and you're giving the word and they're like, yeah, this is good. Man, I've never heard anything like this. Wow, this is awesome. Pastor, preach it. This is good. I like it. So they receive it with joy, and you see them enjoying the message, and you're like, this person is saved. Yeah, this person is just, the Lord's got them. But let's not be deceived. What happens to them? Yet, they had no root in himself, meaning they're not born again. They're just rejoicing on listening to the word, but they never develop any root. No life. They endure only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Wow. That's why it's so important for us, when you come to the Lord, not just to come to church and sit down and listen to the pastor on a sermon and just be a person that comes every week, but someone who is growing in the Lord, someone who gets into the word, someone who praise, someone who gets into discipleship, someone who finds people that they can be accountable for so that they can help them grow. I remember I had those people when I first came to the Lord. I had so many questions. You know, as you read, I mean, almost every page that I read, I'm like, what does this mean? Why this? Why that? And luckily, God surrounded me with godly people that would always give me the right answer. Say, no, this is what it means. That's why. Oh, okay, thank you. But here, this person is like a lone ranger. Listens to the word, doesn't grow any depth, doesn't want to know more. I would want to understand, like, how do you really become a saved? You guys are talking about being born again. What is that? How is that? But some like, no, you know what? This is good enough. I listen to the word. It's good. But as soon as the persecution comes, I'm out of here. So now you're what? You're a believer? You're a Christian? Oh, man. Or they start making fun of them, or something happens. Or, I mean, a lot of times we have to train people that it's not like Joel Osteen says. Life is not going to be sweet and rosy when you become a Christian. No, sometimes you're going to suffer. Peter says it. We're all going to suffer. And that's the way God develops our character. That's the way God develops our faith. That's how we get stronger. You don't go to the gym and stay with your five 5-pound weights forever. I mean, if you've been at the gym for over a year, hopefully you left your 5-pound weights away and you're already handling 10, 20, 30. And it's expected that someone who's been with the Lord for a while should be able to lift a little more weight. Not to, oh, you know what, it was too hot today, so I couldn't make it. What? What's going on here? Weakling. So let's develop our faith in a strong way. Let's develop roots. But roots are, he's the one. We need to stay connected to the vine. He is the one that gives us life. Amen. So we're going to stop right there. So we've only looked at two soils. Next week we'll continue with the others. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for allowing us to study this portion of the scriptures that is such a blessing, Lord. It's so good to not just read it and go along with our human understanding, but to actually understand exactly what your word is telling us. And so I pray, Lord, that you would use your word in a mighty way, Lord, to transform our lives. And I pray for those that are listening and those that will listen to the recordings or to the website, Lord, that you would minister to their hearts in a powerful way, and that we would not just be hearers of the word, but we want to understand it, Lord. And we want to grow closer to you, Lord. And as we learn the other soils, Lord, we want to make sure that nothing of that is part of our lives, because we want to honor you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.